This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject, I will give you rest. You can go to Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. I'll be there in a minute. Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. And today's lesson is all about having balance in life. Everybody say balance. All right, it's about having a balance in life, having a rest and a refreshing consistently, not just sometimes, but God wants you to be consistent in just being refreshed in your life. And now I'm not talking about just physically, although how many believe in a good Sunday afternoon sanctified nap sometime, right? Like we believe in that, right? Nothing like it, right? So, but I'm talking about not just the physical rest, but I'm talking about a rest for your soul. When I'm talking about your soul, I'm talking about your mind and your will, your imaginations, your emotions, and your intellect. And watch this, if your imagination and your emotions are all over the place, it's hard for your soul to rest. And if you're not careful, you'll end up doing a lot of things that you don't need to do. Does that make sense? And so I want to talk to you from that subject. And it is my goal that when you walk out of here today, you have everything you need. Watch this. You understand the importance of physical rest, getting sleep at night, not overdoing it, but making sure that our souls are healthy and our souls have rest. Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Y'all ready to jump into it? It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That word heavy laden in the Greek has to do with if you come to a place of exhaustion. He says, and I will give you, help me out, class, rest. The longer I live, the more I realize that rest is really a gift. Like when I was in a teenager years and early 20s, you know, even in my, maybe, I don't know about early 30s, you know, you want to stay up late, you want to stay up all night and all those kind of things, you know, but I don't feel that I'm old by any stretch of the imagination, you know, but I'm at a season in life by 9-10 o'clock at night. I said, yeah, it's about ready to wrap up tonight, right? Yeah. And so rest is really a gift. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. He is gentle, and you can always go to him. He says, and I'm lowly in heart. He's humble. He says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So not just a physical rest, but where my soul can actually rest. Verse 30, help me out. He says, for my yoke is and my burden is. God has created a life that is perfectly fit for you. If you would look at how they used to do it with the yoke that they would put on the oxen, and a lot of times they put a yoke on two oxen so they could till together. It was typically an older one and a younger one. There was reasons for that. But they also had a gentleman that would come in, and he would make sure that the yoke was perfectly fit for the oxen so it could function the way it was supposed to. And you have to understand that God has perfectly fit a life just for you, so you could function the way he has designed you to. But the key is learning to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results, right? And so that is the key. Now, you have to understand that rest is not inactivity. You got it? Because I can't have you leaving, you know, calling your boss on my anymore. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be in. My pastor says I need me some rest. You know, rest is not inactivity, but rather it is a condition of the soul. So it's while you're working, it's not wearing you out. That I can go through tough seasons. I can go through challenging times in my life. I can go through some storms, you got it. But even when I go through it, there's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that's guarding my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. People will look at you and not understand how you are able to go through what you are able to go through, you got it. But they don't understand that there is a rest that you have taken from Jesus and that you have decided to cast all your care upon him and you're walking in him. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. All right. Now, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. He's back. I was reading that eagles rarely flap their wings when they fly, which saves them a considerable amount of energy. What happens is they rely on the rising air currents to gain altitude so they can keep soaring. And so when it comes to me and you, we have to make up our minds, are we going to live life on our own power, or are we going to live it on the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to rise above every situation, every storm, you got it, you know? And so Isaiah teaches us to rise, you know, above the depression and prostration where life has put you. He says, you got to rise to a new level. And I believe that if we can keep Jesus on the boat, we'll never sink. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so Matthew, the 11th chapter in the 28th verse, in the Message translation, asks it like this. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Watch what Jesus says. Come to me and watch this. Get away with me. Sometimes we do everything with everybody, but we don't do anything with Jesus. I'm teaching better than you shout amen in here. You got it? And so it's okay to have fun and hang out, but you have to make sure that you carve out some time for Jesus, that you spend some time for Jesus so you can get the refreshing, so you can get the re-energizing, so you can get the refocus you need so you can keep moving forward in life. He says, come away with me and you'll recover your life. He said, you will literally recover your life if you'll just spend time with me. I'll give you everything you need. He says, I will show you how to take a real rest. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You notice how Jesus keeps saying, walk with me, work with me, come and get away with me, keep company with me. And I think, saints, that that's the thing that we're sometimes missing, that maybe our parents or our grandparents or our great-grandparents did, because maybe the culture wasn't as crazy as it is now. You got it? There was more time to spend with Jesus, it seems like, but the time is the same. There's still 24 hours in a day. And so what happens is you have to learn how to push out some of the stuff from this world and this culture and say, man, I'm going to make sure I give Jesus my time. Does that make sense? So he says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So God wants you to have rest and not restlessness. And so I want to give you four principles today that I think will help you find rest for your souls to make sure that your soul is healthy. I'm going to use the word rest as an acronym, and I believe it's going to be a blessing for you. All right, everybody say number one. Oh, that was kind of good. All right, we're going to act like that didn't happen. Rewind. All right, so I'm going to give you four principles to help you rest. Everybody say number one. Oh, wow, that was good. All right. Relax in who you are. Relax in who you are. And I don't know. No, I'm not going to say that because I do have enough time. But I need to take my time to help you understand, you got it, that you have to relax in who God has made you to be. You've got to learn to be comfortable in your own skin. You got it? One thing I've learned is that pride or ambition or even insecurities can drive you to be somebody that you're not. You got it? It can, you know, if you're not careful, especially if someone's caught up in pride or ambition, you know, you're always looking over the fence saying, I gotta be like that, or even worse, I gotta be better than that. But let me just give you a news flash. Let me just help you out that God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. So don't be a copycat, because you are a great original. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. And so you have to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to know, have to understand that you know who you are. And not only do you know who you are, but you know whose you are, that you belong to Jesus. So I don't have to size up to anybody. I don't have to do it because you've been doing it. I don't have to compare myself to anybody. I know who I am. I know whose I am. You got it? You have to have a perfect sense of relaxation in who you are and who Jesus is on the inside of you. Does that make sense? make sense? So I can walk into any room and I'm going to be me. You understand? Like that is how I am. I'm just going to be me because I am who I am by the grace of God. So I'm not in comparison with anybody. I'm not in competition with anybody. You got it? I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. I'm not even trying to be better than anybody. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm working my soul's salvation out with fear and trembling. I'm just trying to be the best me that I can be. Does that make sense? And so every day I thank God for who he has made me to be. You got it? I am who I am by the grace of God. And so everywhere I go, I'm always the same. When I first started pastoring, you know, years ago, I can say years ago now because it's been about 16 years. Matter of fact, I think in August, it'll be 16 years. You know, and one thing I learned very quickly when I started pastoring is, you know, that the people coming will get the best experience if I just be me. You got it? You know, and I thank God for great preachers. You got it? But you didn't come to hear T.D. Jakes. If so, you'd move to Dallas. You got it? So I came here, get ready. No, you got it, you know, and can't nobody do it like him. You understand what I'm saying? And I learned I couldn't be my father. I couldn't be Bishop Hilliard. I couldn't be Pastor Taylor. I had to learn just to be me. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And watch this. And if I can just be the best me that I can be, watch this, God can do so much in me to be a blessing to you. If you can learn to be the best you that you can be, God can do so much in you to be a blessing to those who are around you, because you have to understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to make a change. We are called to make a difference in this earth, but we can only do it to the degree that we're not trying to be like somebody else, but we're trying to be the best me we can be. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Pray. All right. And so it doesn't mean that you know, I don't make changes and adjustments along the way. You got it? I'm not the same pastor I was 16 years ago. I'm not the same husband or father I was 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 years ago. I made adjustments to make me better. You got it? I made adjustments in my thinking, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I made adjustments in my attitude, because I understand that my attitude determines my altitude. I made adjustments in my perspective and how I see things, and understand that I can't just have I can't just have a view of just what I think the world should be like. I have to have a view of what God says in his word, and to the degree I follow God's word, everything will work itself out, right? I've had to make changes in my actions, because the whole thing about revelation is that when I know better, I will do better. You got it? Whether it is, you know, parenting with my kids when they were younger, I do something, I say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Well, now that I know that, I make adjustments. You got it? When I know better, I do better. In pastoring, there's things that have happened throughout the years. I say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably shouldn't have said it that way. Probably shouldn't have taught it that way. You got it? And so what I do, I make adjustments, because when I know better, I do better. Does that make sense? So the key is to relax in who God has made you to be, and you have to learn how to be the best you that you can be while making adjustments along the way. Adjustments are a part of it, all right? So if you watch this, on this road, you got to understand that it's you and Jesus, right? So watch this. So if people help you along the way, praise God. But if they don't, Jesus is more than enough. Come on, somebody. So it's you and Jesus. No, and the reason I'm saying this is because if we're not careful, we're trying to get to somewhere, but we're trying to depend on somebody. But what if that somebody doesn't show up for you? Or what if that somebody isn't what you thought they would be? You got it. Or what if that somebody don't love Jesus the way you love Jesus? It's only going to hold you back. Does that make sense? And so you've got to learn that as long as Jesus is on your boat, you cannot sink. Like the writer says, you got to walk with him. You got to work with him. You got to spend time with him. You got it? And so, you know, and thank God, I believe that God will send people around us to help us. You got it? But if you're ever in a season of life and you don't seem like you're getting encouragement, like David, you got to learn how to encourage your own self in the Lord. You got to learn how to read the scripture for yourself. You got to learn how to talk to yourself in the mirror. Say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. You are going to make it, and you are going. I'm talking to you in the mirror. Greater. You got to learn how to talk to yourself. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to learn how to pump yourself up. Come on, somebody. Like I'm ready to go in the ring for 12 rounds. You got it? And so I'm ready to go. Be so that way, I pray somebody's there to encourage you. But if not, it's not a letdown because I've already encouraged my own self. So if you come alongside of me, encourage me, it just adds a little fuel to the fire. But if you don't, I already got a fire on the inside. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a big praise in the house. So you got to learn to encourage your own self. Look at your neighbor and say, encourage yourself, encourage yourself. All right, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're your second choice. And tell them, encourage yourself, encourage yourself. All right, so, you know, and I think that you have to understand that's real important. That was real important. Years ago, everybody say years ago. Years ago, I was at a store. I can't actually remember. I think we were in Myrtle Beach, you know, but we were somewhere. And, you know, we were going to those souvenir stores. And, you know, they've got all those different T-shirts and cool stuff that you can get. And a lot of times, you know, they'll have like Marine Corps stuff. And I like that kind of stuff. Just fun stuff, you know. And there was a section there. And the section said stuff like number one dad, world's greatest dad, best dad ever. You got it? You know, and those are the type of shirts that normally, you know, your children purchase for you on Father's Day or on your birthday. Or if the children don't purchase them, the mama purchases it and gives it to the child. You got it? To give it to, you know, the father. You know, but you know, by that time in my life, nobody had ever bought me one of those kind of shirts. I hadn't gotten one for my birthday, and I hadn't gotten one for Christmas, and I sure didn't get one for Father's Day, praise the Lord. And I liked that shirt. You understand what I'm saying? I was excited, and I think the one that really I liked said, number one dad, you got it? Had to, and so I just grabbed the shirt, you got it? And I went and I paid for the shirt. I didn't say anything to anybody, you know, and those kind of things. And then the next thing you know, home, I don't know if a week, 2 weeks later, you know, I just put on the shirt just like it's a normal day, right? You know, I walk downstairs, and, you know, ladies down there, the kids are down there. First is like, hey, Dad, what's going on? Until they notice the shirt. And they're almost looking like, where did you get that shirt from? And I'm like, yeah, y'all have to ask because y'all sure didn't buy it for me. But see, I know how to encourage my own self. I know I'm a good father. I know I'm a good dad. I know I provide for my children. I know I'm setting a good example. So if they ain't going to get it for me, I know how to encourage my own self. I get one of those, and I walk. I mean, man, and when I was, I mean, I even got some compliment. I like that shirt. I said, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. So don't wait for somebody to encourage you. Don't wait for someone to try to push you. Learn to encourage your own self. Oh, my God. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. So you got to understand. You got to understand the importance of that. All right. So number one, relax in who you are. Everybody say number two. Number two, examine your life for sin. Examine your life for sin, all right? Now we don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we got to? Yeah. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you shouldn't pray. You got it. Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that. I figure I'm going to need him again. It's only, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you understand? I'm going to be calling on him again by 12, right? So I don't pray prayers like that. And so we have to understand the importance, you know, of examining our life for sin. When we fall into sin, along with it comes all kind of things that are not rest for our souls. You got it? When we fall into sin, we deal with things like guilt. Talk back to me, right? Like shame, right? Like worry, right? And all of those things keep us from rest. It keeps our soul from resting. See, sin makes you worry. Sin blocks the blessings. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. You got it? And so you have to understand the importance, you know, of separating yourself from sin. And let me just help you. I'm not the whole beat up kind of preacher. So if you're looking for him, you got to go down the road. You got it? Because number one, if you're in the room and you're caught up in some kind of sin, you probably already know. You understand what I'm saying? That's number one. And so what happens is you don't need me to beat you up. You need me to give you the word to help push you from where you are to where you need to be and do it in a loving manner. Come on, somebody, to help you in life. You got it? I thought you would have clapped at that, but you didn't clap at that, praise the Lord, right? Because I personally, I don't think that God is looking for perfection, but I think he's looking for progress. And I think that that's the key. We have to make sure that we are progressing. You got it in our relationship with God. That watch this, but every day I'm getting better. I just keep putting one foot in front of another. You know, and so Monday I did good, and Tuesday I did good. And if I mess up Wednesday, that's okay. 1 John 1:9 says he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to keep heading in the right direction. Does that make sense? Jeremiah 5:25 is one of the best scriptures that I personally like when it comes to this, because it just breaks it down so easy. And it's even in the KJV easy. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Watch this. And help me out, class. And your sins have withholding what? Good things from you. So it's not God that's withholding good things from you. You got it? It's not even the devil that's withholding good things from me. But when I get caught up in sinful things, watch this, it is my sins that's withholding good things and blocking the blessings of God in my life. Does that make sense? And so in the back, this sounds really, really good, but I noticed that like when I go forceful, I don't have the force, if that makes any sense. I know that's kind of hard, but when they got loud for a second, it almost like, I don't know if I've just got a lot of compression or I'm not sure what it is. It's something real small because, and the monitors are good, so I got volume. It's definitely volume. It's almost like power. Power, power, Lord. We need your power, power, Lord. Come on, power, power, Lord. Was the key right? Holy Ghost power, power, Lord. See, y'all, no, let me stop. All right, okay, all right. So what happens is, everybody say today. Today you have to make the decision that you're that already sounds better, that you're breaking up with sin, all right? That you gotta write sin a letter. Does anybody remember when we were little kids, especially in elementary school, and we wanted to quote unquote date, even though we shouldn't have been dating anybody? We have those little things. Do you like me? Check the box. You had a box for yes and a box for no. Y'all remember that? And even if you were dating somebody in elementary school and you wanted to break up with them, the thing about breaking up with them is the girl could come to you and say, I don't want to date you no more. You say, okay, y'all go to recess and have fun. It wasn't no problems, you know? Like, everything was okay. But as you progressed to middle school and high school, things were a little different. There was emotions that were tied into it. You got it? So you would tell them, I want to break up with you. And they didn't want to hear that. You got it? They didn't want to accept that. And so you figure, I'm going to have to write them a letter. You got it? And I have to let them know. You got it? I've got to explain them, you know, it's not you, it's me. You got it. And then, you know, along the way, you may have gave him some stuff. You might have let him hold on to a sweater or a hoodie. You got it. Or maybe a necklace. So you're trying to be nice, but also let him know, I need my stuff back. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you got it. Well, everybody say today. Today, you have to make the decision that you are breaking up with sin. You got to write sin a letter and tell sin, I can't do this anymore. It's not you, it's me. I was not created to live this kind of life. And by the way, I just need my stuff back. I need my peace back. I need my joy back. I need my strength back. I need my happiness back. The writer says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And watch this. And once you get free, stay free. The Bible teaches in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the Bible is telling us that when I get free, stay free. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? If you're a single lady in the house, make some noise. Any single ladies in the house? Oh, I got single ladies. Yeah. And you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. So you just act like you ain't heard me say this before. But you got to, you know who you are and whose you are and value yourself. You got, and don't put yourself on sale. You got it. You ain't giving it up for everybody for any old kind of thing. No wed, no bed. No ring, nothing. No contract, no contact. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice. I'm cold as ice. Please don't touch my merchandise. Like, you got to make it up in your mind that, no, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, and I'm going to wait for God to send the right one to me. Somebody give the Lord a big hand praise. All right, everybody say number three. Real easy, surrender to the will of God. You know what surrendering to the will of God looks like? Let me just help you what surrendering to the will of God looks like, because it's not like God's not talking to you. It's not like God is not saying, hey, you know, fix this area of your life or watch that or maybe stay away from that person or, you know, read your Bible. Even the Holy Spirit will prompt us to read our Bible. Even the Holy Spirit will prompt us to go to church and he'll prompt us to do all kinds of things. Surrendering to the will of God looks like this. Okay, Lord, I give up. Not my will, but yours be done. Like I give it all up, and from now on, I'm just going to do it your way. It is as simple as that. And this is where we submit our will for his will and our way for his way. Let me tell you why, because his ways are better than ours. The Bible says that his thoughts are better than his ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts ours, because his are higher than ours. So God is not going to come he's not going to start doing things my way. I gotta start doing things his way. He's not going to start thinking my way. I got to start thinking his way. So you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, stop stiff-arming the Holy Spirit. You got it? How do I stiff-arm the Holy Spirit? You got it? You getting ready to go into the club. And he said, you know you don't need to go to the club. You turn the music up loud. Stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. You got it? You got it. I'd never been to the club. You understand? Some of y'all could probably take me and show me how to really do it. You understand? But I've been to the club one time when I was an NCO to get one of my Marines who was, you know, just whatever. You got it. And I'm trying to think, did I actually have to go in? Or I'm not sure if I, you know, but I don't, you know, praise the Lord. I don't know much about that stuff. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and what class? Obedient. What's going to happen? You shall eat the good of the land. Job 36:11, if you obey and serve him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. So if you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. God's plan is the best plan for your life. The devil, he's got his own plan for you, but it's not a good plan. God's plan is the best plan for your life. Y'all know the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to do what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? A hope in a future. Sounds like the best plans. So if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. And then number 4 is letter T, talk to God daily. Talk to God daily. Jesus teaches us that we should always pray and never give up. Men are to always pray. That's not gender specific. Men and women, as the case may be, we are to always pray and not faint or not give up. All right. I think we posted this the other week on the Without Limits page. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. All right. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. So don't worry. Just pray. Everybody say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Just pray. All right. And so do I want to do that? Yeah. I want to sum this up in all. I think let's go home. Yeah. Let's go home on Romans 12:1-2. Let's go home on Romans 12:1-2. Watch what he says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention where, class? And that's the key. Because culture wants to take us over here and over here and follow this influencer and do this and do that. And the writer says, fix your attention on God. And what's going to happen if you do that? You'll be changed from what? The inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So in closing, I want to remind you that you are going to make it and you are going to win. That God is with you and therefore you cannot fail. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the ones who counted you out, y'all already know, they couldn't count. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost, in Jesus' name. First thing I want you to do is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what are you saying to me concerning this lesson? And I believe that he will begin to talk to you. You'll notice that a few people, and I say few because only move if you have to move, because it's only 10:20, but a few people have to move. But if everyone else can stay seated, I'm going to ask my believers who pray in the Spirit to begin to pray in the Spirit. And we are believing today that some lives are going to be changed. We're believing today that some decisions are going to be made for Christ in this room and online. We believe today that somebody's life is going to turn around. Maybe you're in the room or online, and you might just hear me say under the sound of my voice. So that means in the room or online, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is a very easy word. It's not a hard word. All it means is I was going in the wrong direction, doing the right, wrong things, and I repented, or I made a U-turn and I just started heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature or new creation, that old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know, man, God is not mad at you. God is not upset with you. That's a lie that the enemy tries to tell you. But he loves you very much, and I believe that he's knocking on the door of your heart. And my only request to you today is if you know he's knocking on the door of your heart, just to let him in. Maybe you're a Christian under the sound of my voice, and you just need to repent. As Christians, we mess up. We make mistakes. That's why 1 John 1 and 9 was written to us, that if we'll just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line, so to speak. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to. And I believe that when it comes to, the Bible says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. So think about it. It's the order of God for you to get connected, planted, and join a church. That's God's will for your life. And so maybe you've been coming, but you haven't connect today. Maybe it's your first time and you're like, hey, this is it. Maybe you've been coming for a long time and you just consider yourself a member, but you never made it official. Make sure that you do that. We have those connection cards. Today, I want you to fill out the connection card if you're getting saved. I also want you to fill out that connection card if you're rededicating your life to Jesus. I also want you to fill out that connection card if you're going to join this church today. Please hear me. Whether you're in the room or online, it's so important that you don't just pray the prayer, but that you follow up and that you check the appropriate boxes. So if you're going to get saved, if you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord, or if you're going to join our church, I want you to fill it out. If you are a first-time friend, you'll take it to the first-time friend's tent. If you're not a first-time friend and you're getting saved, you're rededicating your life, or you're joining the church, the ushers have offering buckets you can drop it in. You can turn it into guest services. You can just give it almost anywhere. And so let's do this. I want to seal the deal. And so we're going to pray. Who are we going to pray for? We're going to pray with those that are giving their life to Jesus, those that are rededicating their life to Jesus, and those Christians that are repenting today. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray it together as a family, because it's going to help those next to us that need to pray this prayer. But truth be told, this is a prayer that every one of us can pray. I want everyone in the building to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it right now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand praise all over the building?